This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Special night for New York baseball. The Mets eliminate the Philadelphia Phillies, move on to the NLCS. Either the Dodgers or the Padres await. We will find out who that's going to be on Friday night. And the Yankees take a lead, a 2-1 series lead over the Royals last night, a Giancarlo Stanton night. 888-808-1019. And the scenes from these clubhouses, these interviews that they're having, the champagne celebrations, you know, everybody just so happy and what they'd gone through this season and this organization, and just listening to everybody from Steve Cohen to David Stearns to Carlos Mendoza to Harrison Bader. It was just great. And then a scene that I'm not sure if you saw, which was my favorite, and this was happening on the SNY postgame. So they're just like doing the camera around the clubhouse, and then like in the back, just by himself with no one around him.
Smoking a cigar
with this like look on his face, like he didn't know if he was supposed to be there or not, as Jesse Winker. It's the funniest thing. And the guys start cracking up at the desk. It was just perfect because it fits his personality so much. He's just a psycho.
It's like he's sitting right in the middle of everything, just like unaware of what's happening.
Right.
Maybe he's playing it up. I don't know. But I was just telling Alan Eddie, I said, you know, when you think about this team and what this team has done over the last 2.5 months, and you think about the comebacks, the home runs at the most opportune time, the starting pitching, some of the relievers that have come in and, you know, put out the fire. I mean, so many memories. It's going to be really hard to remember all of this. And you got to, I'm telling you, for the younger fan out there, man, what you're seeing is something that is so magical that it's almost, I'm going to say life-changing, but it just gives you such great joy to turn on the TV and watch your team play. Like, you know, we got another game tonight. We got a Thursday night football game, of course, between the 49ers and the Seahawks. But, you know, you got the Yankees going again tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sort of depends on how old you are and what the team means to you, if it's going to be hard to remember all of it. I think, you know, as you get older and there's more memories in your head, I mean, it's a little bit tougher. But, I mean, I have,
Dude, these have been ridiculous, ingrained
in my mind when it was my wheelhouse, what was going on, you know, in 99, 2000, and 2006. Like, just totally ingrained. I mean, I remember leaving Shea Stadium, I could still to this day, remember Eddie Scazzeri's face leaving Shea Stadium Game 7 of the NLCS in 2016 when they lost to the Cardinals. Like, it's in totally, now there's good moments ingrained and there's bad moments, but I remember, we didn't even sit together that game. We just ran into each other after the game, and I just remember looking at you. I was like, this just sucks.
But you got to remember, like, this season is a season that got off to such a horrendous start. You had a new baseball operations guy. You had a new manager.
What were we going to do with Pete Alonso at the trade deadline?
Right, right. You had all of this stuff at the beginning of the season. Plus, they weren't playing well. They didn't get off to a great start. And then there was the revolving door, you know, third base and in the bullpen. And, you know, you lose Kodai Senga. I mean, like, there were so many things that were so negative at the beginning. And, for 2 months, it's all we talked about. What are you going to do at the trade deadline? And then came a couple of different things. Francisco Alvarez got hurt. came back after a 20-game absence, and all of a sudden the team kind of took off when he came back a little bit. Then they had the two team meetings. They had moments in the regular season that really, I think, propelled them to what they have now done the last 2 weeks. I mean, this is like unprecedented stuff, man. That's why I feel like this reminds me of 1969. Because I can remember the way that my dad was acting around that team and how that team came out of nowhere to win a championship. Basically they were an eight-year-old team.
Yeah, I mean, the Miracle Mets, and I misspoke. I said 2016. It was 2006 that I saw Eddie out there it was my second year at WFAN.
And I think Monzo was there,
maybe? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was there with you. Every one of our dogs that we had ever owned had just died right in front of us.
At the same moment. Yeah, that's what it was
and
like.
And even with like with the teams that are left now. And I know the Dodgers are a great team and the Padres are going to be a formidable foe if that's who we end up playing. But I don't feel like this team at all is going in as a significant underdog.
Well, this is what I've been saying for days. I mean, and after the Pete Alonso home run in Milwaukee, that now, in my mind, they are capable of anything. And I don't care what the odds say. I don't care what the analytics say. That does it. The matchups, what they did in the regular season. I mean, none of it means anything to me because of what I've seen this team do in recent memory. So they're capable of anything. I mean, that's why I said they're not going back to Philadelphia. That's why I sat here yesterday and said I'm going to sit down and put this game on expecting them to win. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to expect them to beat either the Padres or the Dodgers, but I'll tell you this much. There's no way that I'm going in with some sort of downtrodden negative attitude that they don't have a chance in the series. They've got a chance against anybody.
That's exactly right. And that's what's, considering where they came from to where we are now, that I think that encapsulates exactly where we are, where we now do expect them to hang and hang with everybody. Like, they're not an underdog. I don't care what anybody says. All of their players have come through at some point in time. And when you have that magic going on throughout your lineup, both in the field of play, maybe Vientos, should have made the playoffs.
Well, that's one of those things that your baseball coach teaches you, even your football coach, if you're a wide receiver or tight end, teaches you. Secure the ball before you look up to do the next thing, or you're going to drop the damn thing. He did it twice in this series. I don't want to get on him.
I know, but
he's got, if that situation arises again in a critical moment, can you not do it again? That's all I'm asking.
But that's why they make the changes late in the game.
And of course,
the ball finds Iglesias.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a base hit there. But I would just say that, there's a real expectation now that you can play with anybody, and that's the greatest feeling of a fan base. Like, I know as a Ranger fan going through the playoffs, you're always wondering, we don't have this superstar, we don't have that superstar, but what we do has we have a collective effort of really solid players that when they do play the game the way that they're supposed to play it, and you have a backstop like an Igor, you can beat anybody. And I think the Mets right now are like living in that world. They're in that world where they can beat anybody they play.
Yeah, I mean, in the history of this organization, obviously the two championships were, the 86 Mets, we knew the 86 Mets had a good team, obviously. 69, as you mentioned, it came out of nowhere. It was a miracle Mets. They had been so bad just a few years prior as an expansion team. But if you look at the postseason of the 86 Mets, they were dead on several occasions, obviously being as dead as humanly possible in Game 6 of the World Series as they're packing up their equipment before the Mookie Wilson, Bill Buckner play. So it's the point being that even though one has nothing to do with the other, the fan base, and if you have seen all of these, like, even though we're only at the NLCS here, the unlikeliness, the coming back from the dead, the never say die, the craziness that's going on mirrors those 2 years to this point. It does. So I you don't want it to end and you don't feel like it is. I mean,
The other thing about this team, it has galvanized itself. It really has. I mean, from being around the trade deadline, talking about how, they don't want to lose any of the players. They want to keep the players together. We got a good team. Convinced ownership to make sure that, they didn't do anything that was going to upset, you know, the locker room. I can't even believe you're saying upset the locker room, thinking about this team and you know, some of the issues that Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil had had over the years, you know. And I don't, it's amazing really watching what's unfolding and how it's unfolding. Like, I just sat there last night thinking, you know, there's no way they're losing this game. There's just no way. And everybody, again, guys come through in different ways. And then Lindor is the guy that caps it off. And then, of course, Edwin Diaz takes us all to the end of the cliff or the edge of the cliff. And then, you know, dials everybody back. So, I mean, it's just been a great run, man. It's just, it's so, like, enjoyable to sit down and watch an entire baseball game.
Yeah.
With, like, we'll do it tonight.
Yes, but especially with this team and the Mets are unbelievably exciting. Let's go to Josh in Flushing. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's up? So I was there last night, and it was an amazing game. And after the home run, the place was going bonkers. And after the game, we stayed till the end. Marte was throwing champagne on us. You know, Bader, Winker, all the guys were amazing. My question for you was, when I was there, the place was going crazy. When Diaz came in, the place got more subdued, and they were tension. They were nervous. Do you think there was anything to keeping Peterson for an out?
I think every single one of us.
Yeah.
If we're totally honest, every single one of us wanted Peterson to stay in.
Yeah, and I knew for a fact, and I have the text messages to prove it at the time. I said, you want Peterson, I want Peterson. Peterson's the right move. Mendoza's going to Diaz. Because he's proven time and time again that he is going to ride Edwin Diaz. He has faith in Edwin Diaz. And that's just, that I think is his one flaw, Mendoza, is he trusts the guy too much. So I was not surprised at all that Edwin Diaz came in. I knew he was coming in.
Thank God he had a 3-run lead.
Oh my God. I mean, it's the worst when he gets going like that, but he got the job done. So, I mean, but it's just, why is it? And I know that closers, you know, we can point to closers everywhere. Like, you know, Class A of the Guardians, you know, the Phillies guy, blew a save, like all these stories. But it feels like these Mets closers throughout the years just want to torture the fan base. You know, whether it was John Franco had to load the bases before he got out of an inning.
No, because he was a nibbler.
He was a nibbler. I mean, or Billy Wagner or Armando Benitez or Jerry's Familia or who was it? K-Rod. Edwin Diaz.
It just goes on and on.
God, it's
on.
All these guys have to just make you nuts. I mean, I guess maybe too, like, because we saw Mariano Rivera at his best here in New York, that everything gets compared to that, which is, and he's the outlier. But it's like, these guys, man, like, God, when you see them and they you know how they can dominate, and then you see them start walking the ballpark or throwing balls in the dirt or just leaving hanging sliders. It's just, there's nothing worse than that.
I'm telling you that, you know, both of the pitchers, Hoffman and who was it? I'm trying to think who was it for the Mets, were throwing 50-foot change-ups or sinkers into the grounds.
Yeah, it was Garrett.
Reed Garrett.
Yeah. Evan, right?
Right. And by the way, you know, so Francisco Alvarez makes two plays on two of those.
Yeah.
I mean, which was unbelievable. And Brzezinski's like crazy over it. And then everybody, you know, had been talking, and rightfully so, Real Muto's a really good player, really great catcher. And he could not get two of those from Hoffman. They actually went to the backstop. Yeah.
Listen, the lineup has been great. There's been production everywhere. I'd like to see Francisco Alvarez get a couple
hits.
Get
out of it a little bit.
I mean, and I know he's the 9-hitter, but we know he's capable of smacking one. I'd like to see him get a couple of hits because, you know, last night, if there was any point I didn't have faith in the Mets, but I knew Lindor was on deck and I had faith in him, it was when Alvarez was up with the bases loaded, nobody out. I'm like, this guy's, I thought he was going to strike out. He hit that weak ground ball to short, but I thought he was going to strike out. He's just been
I was surprised they didn't double him up, actually.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, me too. It was a slow hit ground ball.
I was just feeling like that would have been the worst of all possible situations, and that shows you a guy that's grinding, that hopefully he'll have his moment offensively here in the next series.
Peter in Ridgewood. What's going on, Peter?
Boomer, Gio, what a wonderful morning, boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's happening?
What's going on, boys? Listen, join the ride. I think we all are. I'm like Gio. I'm a pessimistic Met fan. I've been through a lot of crap over the years. My question to you guys is the only thing that worries me. How long is our starting pitching going to last like this? How long can it last?
I don't know why it can't last. I think they've been great, man. I mean, Manaea was great. Quintana was great. Severino was great in his previous outing until, you know, that little hiccup where he gave up three runs and a couple home runs.
None of these guys look fatigued, tired at all. I mean, they're just totally in command, you know, and a lot of these guys are not having stressful innings either. So, you know, I feel like Manaea, Quintana, Severino has more blow-up potential, in my opinion, than Manaea and Quintana, but I mean,
you're going to have, I don't know, I haven't read anything about Senga. I'm assuming.
Well, he'll start a game,
I'm
sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he will, and I'm sure they'll have him backed up by Peterson, who's been unbelievable. Peterson is another one who had a terrific, terrific regular season.
Yeah, and now he's you know, you're putting him in some of the most critical moments of the postseason.
And he's delivering.
Twice he has delivered. It's just, that's another Carlos Mendoza button push thing. It's like, okay, you know, we're not going to go to Budo here. We're not going to go to Stanek here. We're not going to go to Maton, that guy. I can't stand him. Since he talked about that iPad, I'm done with him.
I know, but you can't say that about a team that's continuing to win. You got to be all on board for every guy.
Okay. You're talking about Edwin Diaz scaring the hell out of you. Maton scares the hell out of me.
But I'm still pulling for him.
Who said I wasn't pulling for him?
Well, you just said I'm done with that guy.
Okay, it doesn't mean I'm not pulling for him.
You can't be done. Wait a minute.
If he comes in, then I want him to do well, but he scares the hell out of me.
Hold on here. If you say you're done with a guy,
yeah,
how can you be pulling for him?
Because he's wearing the uniform. So you pull for everybody who wears the uniform, but I don't want to see him in a big spot.
You're done with that guy.
Yeah, this is not that hard to figure out.
By the way, that guy has done a lot since he got here.
Yeah, but I know. Fine. In the postseason, he scares the hell out of me. He looks frightened, and then after he said,
Diaz doesn't frighten you?
I said in the beginning he did, just like you did. So I just, when he said, I thought the pitches were good when I looked at the iPad. Now I'm out on him.
He can't be out on anybody. You got to be all in on everybody.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to be rooting for him, but he scares me. It's okay. It's okay to be scared by certain players on your team, and that guy scares me. That's all. And if he pitches well, great. I'll be thrilled. But after he talked about that iPad, and he looked at the iPad after getting his brains kicked in, I was like, that guy, I don't want to see him in high leverage situations anymore. I just don't. So hopefully they don't need to put him in high leverage situations.
Oh, they're going to need to put him in high leverage. They're going to need to. Every single one of them is going to be in a high leverage situation at some point in these games.
Well, not if you're up like 6-0.
Yeah, but you know, listen, you know these things change on a dime. You know that.
Yeah, no, I understand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get back to Jerry, who's got lots of happy recap stuff. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. I mean, I can't let this go, so I just would like to remind everybody from Tuesday afternoon, our former boss, Spike Eskin.
One of the reasons I left FAN, I love all my friends at FAN, is that I wanted to go from a town of losers to a town of winners.
Might I remind him?
New York advances to the second round in back-to-back years. They defeat the Sixers 118-115.
And oust their asses back to Philly. That was Ian Eagle on TNT a few months ago. And then, of course, last night.
A 4-1 loss tonight in New York. And New York is moving on. And the Phillies are headed home.
Yes, they are. That was Phillies radio.
I feel so bad for Spike.
Yeah. Just a couple other comments. I mentioned earlier that someone said, I thought they cured AIDS. I thought that was, you know, a little bit over the top.
But, jeez.
Someone said, I donate to this guy's GoFundMe. let's see. What else? What could I actually read here? Junkie, doofus, hipster. Spike is the curse of Philly. I Googled loser, and this is the pick that came up.
And by the way, I know we are doing the Eagles-Giants game in a couple weeks.
Did a cat drag that guy indoors? Back to the park to smoke some rocks? Dollar store vanilla ice wannabe. Man. Yes, you were saying... about the game, the Philadelphia. Oh, we're doing Eagles-Giants.
Yeah, we're doing the Eagles-Giants.
Maybe the Giants finally meet the Eagles.
Maybe they do. You never know.
No, you don't know.
Things are starting to change.
They are, and we have a lot to be thankful for, and one guy would be Francisco Lindor. This is how it sounded in Philadelphia.
This is only the sixth inning, but it's a big spot. 2-1. Here's the pitch. Swung on, belted, up the alley, right center, and that ball is gone. Francisco Lindor turns the game around.
Yes, he did.
And 50-50 jackpot was up to $72,000 last night. See that?
Yep. Someone walked away with a lot of cash. Here was Lindor in the post-game press conference. In terms of that home run, how big was that in terms of your career?
Pretty high, because this is a home run to send us to a big place, you know, which is the National League Championship. It's hard to rank them from 1 to 10, whatever, but it's pretty high for sure.
I would say so. Edwin Diaz would close it out. David Peterson earned the win in relief, throwing 2 1/3 after Jose Quintana went 5+. Take you to the post-game celebration. Com posted this. It's a little long. This is the speech from Carlos Mendoza with his team. I broke it up into two parts. First things first.
And the story continues.
Hey, yeah.
When we clinch in Atlanta, we thank our the best owners in the world, Steve and Alex.
Yeah.
We thank our front office, David, baseball operations. We thank you guys in here, the trainers, everyone. Now, let's celebrate our families.
Okay, celebrate our families, and then here's where he wraps up.
Let's celebrate our wife, our parents, your kids, that behind the scenes are right there with us.
Yeah.
And lastly, our fan base. Francisco Lindor calls it Mets Nation.
Yeah.
Guess what? We believe. You need to continue to believe. Let's go!
As you can imagine.
Celebratory cork.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, by the way, you know, right after the game is over and Edwin Diaz, you know, closes it out, you see how each of those players went up to Carlos Mendoza? I mean... They love this guy.
I would hope so, man. He's done everything right.
No,
he's
I know,
awesome.
But
he came into this job highly respected, and now
he loves this. They love this guy. They absolutely. You can see the hugs, and you can see the genuine. And obviously, again, it goes back to winning. You got to win in order to have these feelings kind of expose themselves. But that's exactly what's going on.
And so now they will face the winner of the Padres-Dodgers in the NLCS. The Dodgers turned the tables on San Diego last night.
So here's the payoff. That swings and hits a high drive. Left center field and deep. Merrill at the wall. It's gone! Mookie Betts at it again. The first inning home run.
And that kind of set the stage, and they would hit a few more. Remember the Padres had, I think it was 5 or 6 home runs on them a couple of nights ago. Well, last night,
Mookie Betts is waking up now.
Lux and Smith hit home runs. 8-0 was the final as they even things up at 2 games
apiece. Who do you want to play? Who do you guys want to play?
I want to play the Dodgers.
Whoever's there.
Yeah, I mean, either one, fine, whatever it is. But I'd rather play the Dodgers. And I think, like, I don't know, if this miracle craziness is going to continue, like, let's get revenge for 1988 along the way.
Man, you just keep hearkening back to yesteryear.
Well, think about it. That 88 Dodgers team was the team that wasn't supposed to beat that Met team.
That's true.
It's flipped now. So let's go. I mean...
Well, you're going to find out late Friday night. They'll play at 8 o'clock in this decisive fifth game in Los Angeles. As for the Yankees, we're going to start with our thriving player of the game. His name is one Giancarlo Stanton.
1-0, swung on and hit in the air to left center deep. It's going to land on the track, right at the base of the wall, rounding third, Soto. He's coming home. The throw is offline. He scores. It is an RBI double by Stanton.
Who also homered. He is our Yankees thriving player of the game. Brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. Not only did he do that with the home run and the double, he stunned everybody.
Now the 2-0 to Volpe. Stanton goes, how do you like that? And he steals the base. How do you like that? Is that something? The last guy you'd think would steal the base.
And who saw that coming? That's exactly right. 3-2 was the final. He had himself a night, 3-for-5 in all. Now, there was many issues with the telecast, as we know. We've pointed out Bob Costas. Oof. You've also got the whole thing with George Brett and the interview, and even Susan was like, all right, enough.
A friend of mine said to me today about George Brett. We're seeing him on the screen. George Brett is getting more TV time than Taylor Swift did when she started going to Chiefs games. Every time I look up, George Brett is on television.
1-1.
That is true.
They missed, you know, the wrong camera angle and the Soto thing.
Yeah, that double was the double? Yeah, it was the double where it just looked awful.
Right. Yeah, they've had a tough time.
The whole thing, even like the stadium looks dark.
It's a bad broadcast.
Not great. Not great. Here was Stanton himself on TBS first. How the hell did you steal second base if you can't run?
Oh, yeah. you know, he wasn't holding me on, and he was slow to the plate, so I thought, why not?
Should we tell Shohei you're coming for him next year?
50-50? I might be. Let him know.
Actually, it's funny. Going back to the Met game, I thought when Bryce Harper had that leadoff double and they took Quintana out. Who'd they put? Reed Garrett.
Yeah.
Garrett wasn't looking. I thought he was just going to waltz to third base with nobody out.
Imagine if Giancarlo Stanton pulled a muscle stealing a base.
And he was done for the season.
I mean,
playoffs.
You understand what people would be saying? What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, he's playing baseball. Good for him. Luke Weaver closed this thing out. He says that Stanton home run gave us quite the lift.
It was fun to watch it soar over us. I always take a quick look at the exit velo just to make sure they get it as confirmation. But until it goes out, you never know what's going to happen. But huge, huge boost. I mean, that guy goes down and gets it. He gives us the boost we need. And from there, it wasn't about excitement. It was about determination.
And getting the job done, and they did. Here was Soto. Why is Stanton so locked in October?
I feel like the postseason brings the best of everybody, you know. I feel like he's really enjoying every moment, every second, and he knows how to handle his emotions in the playoff, and he's just coming through like he always does.
Oh, postseason doesn't get the best out of everybody.
Not everyone, not yet anyway.
Yeah, there's another one of those things. Postseason gets the best out of everybody!
99! Hello!
You hear that there, AJ?
Yes.
That's right. So, game four tonight in Kansas City with Cole and Waka. First pitch on the Fan at 8:08, a Yankee win, and they are into the ALCS, where they will face either the Tigers or the Guardians. Detroit blanking Cleveland again.
Morgan's 2-1, swinging a line drive down the left field line, hooking toward the corner, fair ball! Keith will score. Torkelson around first. He's heading to second. 3-0 Tigers in the sixth.
And that was Tigers radio, and that was it. That's all they needed. 3-0, two games in a row. Cleveland all of a sudden can't seem to hit the baseball. And so Detroit, with game four in their building later tonight, has a 2-1 series lead. I believe it's 6 p.m. Later tonight for that start time. All right, we get to the football. Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers appearing on the Pat McAfee show on Wednesday, addressing the people that said he had something to do with the firing of the head coach.
I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have. which I don't.
He went on to say,
liar, liar, pants on fire.
Well, I mean,
when the owner is calling you on Monday night.
Yeah, that's the thing. Are we really to believe? So he detailed. Yeah, go ahead.
Here was this on the Woody phone call.
Yeah, I did talk to Woody. Woody called me on Monday night. We had a short conversation. I appreciated the call. It was a genuine call, and he just asked me how I was doing. Obviously I got rolled up on in the game. So he just called and was asking how I was doing. And, we talked about the game and how disappointed I was in my performance and that I'm going to play better and we're going to get this thing turned around. And then we hung up.
All right. So let's just put in the context of this show. Let's for a second just say, things weren't going well with the show and felt like there needed to be a change. And, Chris Oliveiro calls Boomer on a Monday and they talk. And then on Tuesday, Al gets fired. And then Boomer says, yeah, I talked to Chris, but he was just checking on me. I had a little bit of a cough. He just wanted to see if I was doing okay.
Liar.
Would anybody believe that?
No.
Right.
Nope.
So, they had to have talked about, maybe not, hey, I'm going to fire this guy. What do you think? But he had to have asked questions about Rob Saleh's leadership, the direction of the team. Do you believe that this guy can? He had to have.
Well, the question that I would have, did Woody have knowledge that Rob Saleh was going to be changing the offensive coaching staff and who was calling plays?
Yeah.
And did that ever come up with Aaron? That to me, because as I understand it, obviously when Christopher, Woody, Rob Saleh, Joe Douglas, and I forget who else was on that plane, went out to convince Aaron Rodgers that the Jets would be a good place for him to come, I'm sure that they made some sort of guarantees to him. And one of those guarantees was Nathaniel Hackett was going to be coming here as the offensive coordinator. That was one of the reasons why Denver wanted Hackett in the first place, leaving Green Bay, because they thought maybe they would be able to swing a trade for Aaron Rodgers out into Denver, and that never happened. That's why they turned their attention to Russell Wilson. So I mean, I don't know. We weren't born yesterday. I mean, I got to believe that Woody said, hey, I'm hearing that they're changing offensive play callers. Are you down with that? Are you good with that? I got to believe that somewhere along the line, that sort of questioning probably had to have happened in that conversation.
Well, I mean, but it still sounds like it's on the table that Downing's going to call plays.
Aaron Rodgers said publicly, I'm all behind Jeff Ulbrich, and whatever Jeff Ulbrich wants, then Jeff Ulbrich's going to get, and that's the way it's going to go. And then, when you're 2-3 and you're playing for first place on Monday Night Football and you have your head coach fired, now everybody's got to, jump in line. By the way, the more I think about this, the more I think Woody did the right thing here to try to save the season. I do, because I saw tension on the sidelines. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks. And I know that, it's amazing to me that some Jet fans couldn't stand Rob Saleh. They need him fired. Okay, so they fire him. And then those same Jet fans come back. I can't believe they're doing it in the middle of the season. I mean, what do you want?
Well, I think to answer that question is a competent head coach that was available in the offseason to start the season. But we know that that wasn't going to happen.
But that wasn't going to happen either, right? Because Aaron Rodgers is here.
Who doesn't have any power, Boomer.
Yeah, Aaron's not a dope. He knows exactly what's going on, and he is tuned into everything that's happening in that building. I mean, they've given him all. Let's put it this way: instead of going to him and asking him if it's okay, they probably have gone to him and said, "Hey, what do you think?" And give me your advice. What do you think is going to work best? That's like two different types of questions being asked to him. And then if he gives his point of view, then that's not him demanding anything. That's just giving him or his point of view to somebody who's going to make a decision. And that's, I got to believe that's what happened here.
And quite influential, you would think.
Well, yeah, he should be. I mean, that's why he's here.
The week opens up tonight with the Niners and the Seahawks in Seattle. The Raiders did name Aiden O'Connell their starting quarterback for their game against the Steelers Sunday. The Rangers did win last night 6-0 over the Penguins.
Should have been 7, man. Will Cooley had a great shot, but that was called back because offside. They looked great last night. All four lines scored, shut out by Shesterkin. Pittsburgh Penguins. Another team I can't stand.
Islanders, Utah tonight. Devils, Maple Leafs.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Mets celebration Thursday morning. Moving on to the NLCS, it's going to be either the Padres or the Dodgers, and we've got more Mets playoff baseball. And up to this point, it has been captivating. It has been entertaining. It has been nothing short of spectacular.
Just quickly before we get back to these great Mets calls this morning and a lot of happy fans. So Hurricane Milton hits. There's obviously lots of damage there. The top of the trop where the Rays play was blown off. And there's people, hopefully not a lot of people stayed. And the rebuild will continue. There's tornadoes all over the state. It was just a wild scene down there. But that guy, the one-legged man in the sailboat, Lieutenant Dan, stayed. And survived.
Did you see the mayor of Tampa basically say, yes, we have him in a shelter?
Yes.
She must have gotten some bad information.
So she actually, in a press conference, because this story has gotten so wild via social media, she said, for everybody worried about Lieutenant Dan, we've got him. He's off his boat. He's in a shelter. He never went to a shelter. And they came up on him. And like after the storm had passed, they start knocking on his window, and he pops out like a prairie dog. He's like, "Hey, what's going on?" Unbelievable. But obviously not a smart thing to ride out a Category 3 hurricane on a 20-foot sailboat. But I do believe that the eye didn't directly hit Tampa like at one point they thought it would. It was more of the Siesta Key area. But obviously, lots of damage and lots of rebuilding they're going to have to do. Down there. All right, let's go to our buddy Radimus, who's now in Houston. What's going on, Radimus?
What's up, boys? How are we doing today?
We're doing great, Radimus. What's up, man?
Hey, so let me tell you this, man. I'd rather watch the Mets than watch the Yankees at this point.
And you're a big Yankees fan.
I am. I was so happy that the Mets game came out first, you know, because then I saw a little bit of Yankees, and I said, okay, I'm just going to go to bed, and I'll find out in the morning what's going on. But here we go again. We talk all this crap about Giancarlo Stanton all year long. What is he going to pull? What is he going to do this? But I spoke to you about this last year. Again, Giancarlo Stanton comes through, but we got big man Aaron Judge just sitting there doing what? Boys, what are we doing? I have a feeling. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but I have a feeling we're going to lose, boys. I have a feeling we're going
to
lose.
To the Royals?
I'm going to tell you. Yeah. I don't know. Like, watching the Mets, man, is so freaking hype. I'm sitting there excited for a team that I'm not supposed to like, boys.
Yeah.
And then, hey, I got people out here in Houston loving you guys right now, man. Me as a truck driver now, all I talk about is Boomer and Gio.
I love that, Radimus. And by the way, you know, I think you're probably drawn to Grimace. The Oh My God song. I think there's a lot of things that, you know, we as Met fans usually get made fun of for. But now, all of a sudden, you know, now with us winning, everybody's looking at us as the most exciting team in baseball. Which is really amazing when you think about where we were in June.
Exactly, and appreciate it, Radimus, that you're spreading the Boomer and Geo love out there all the way down in Texas. But yeah, I mean they are. It's and you see even Jeff Passan, who is like a swarmy little turd most of the time on social media. But he's like, you know, says things like, you know, the Mets' unwillingness to die is magical. Whatever tweeting out, all these things. Like whatever. Even him. So like it's just. It's captivated everybody who's interested in baseball. Now, I don't expect the world or the rest of the country to care about the Mets. Obviously, people who are interested in baseball care about the Mets and the Mets fans and everybody here in New York. But they are that team this year. That makes sense.
All right, so let me ask you this question. I don't know this answer right now, but who has the National League Championship Series for TV and who has the American League Championship Series?
I think it's similar. So it's just
stays,
the same
stays
thing.
The same?
Yeah, it stays the same.
Well, then if it's going to stay the same, then the Yankee fan is going to have to deal with this.
No, Bob Costas will not be doing it. Right. I don't think.
I think that's part of the issue right now.
I think Brian Anderson is going to be.
The whole thing is like tired. Like you feel tired watching it.
Yeah, I think Brian Anderson is going to end up doing it.
Okay.
I think with Ronnie, I'm not positive, but I'm really confident Bob Costas is done after the DS, and I'm not exactly sure. We'll figure that out coming up. All right, let's go to Joe in Sparta. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys, good morning. How are you?
All right, Joe, what's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. First time, long time. Love the show. Just wanted to share my experience last night. Went to the game. I'm 47 years old. I grew up a Met fan. Gary Carter was my childhood hero. And went to the game last night with one of my best friends. He's a Met fan. And it was just an unbelievable experience, you know, from beginning to end. We got there, you know, an hour and a half before the game started. We're sitting up in on the right field or left field line, section 332. The crowd is going nuts. We're, you know, everybody's high-fiving each other. Obviously, when Lindor hit the slam, we're like, this thing's going to be definitely going to score at least two, because like you couldn't tell how high it was going. And then it went out, and everybody obviously is going bonkers. The best part for me at the end of the night, like we go down, like we got to go down to the field level. So we go down and, all the players, families are coming down. Like we're literally on the right field line, right by the dugout. And, you know, all their families are coming out. They're celebrating. They're coming over. Everybody's chanting. All the players are like coming over individually to us. Marte comes over to us. And he starts spraying us with champagne. Manaya comes into like the, into the crowd and starts giving us high fives. And like, it was, we're singing, they put on My Girl, Lindor's song.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd is singing My Girl together. And it was just like, it was, I am so jacked up for this team. And it's just, it's amazing. It's like, you know, a couple weeks ago, it's like, oh, wow, this is great. They're keeping you entertained. It's awesome. But like now it's like, holy smokes, they got just as much of a chance as anybody.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, yeah, yeah, that's exactly so right.
I mean, and what a memory, huh?
Thank God it's happening during political season too. Give us something to wake up and actually smile about.
Yeah. I imagine that getting like, you know, sprayed with champagne by one of the players. That's actually very cool.
That is great.
You're a part of celebrating it with them.
So those are the things that you don't see unless you follow on social media. Cause you know, we flip to the next game. We're watching the next game and I'm going back and forth between different streaming services, which is just like such a headache when you don't have cable and you can't just flip the one thing to the next. Now you got to go from one streaming service, my Fubo service, watching FS1. Now I got to go to Max. And the good thing about Max, at least last night, it had the Rangers and the Yankees on.
Listen,
but
man,
even that is like three button pushes to get to the next channel.
You got the Mets going to the NLCS.
Yes.
The Yankees won, take a 2-1 lead.
Yeah.
The Rangers won 6-0 to start off.
Just
shut up.
I am so happy. I am just so annoyed.
Shut up about your streaming services.
I'm so happy.
Stop it.
Just flipping between streaming services sucks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.